Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Carol Connection. I am your host, Jared Carol, back to bring you guys another great episode. So last week, I took a bye week. I went up to New Hampshire, got away from everything with some good friends, just enjoyed the weather up there, and it was nice to get away for a weekend. Went kayaking, went hiking, taking my mind out of the things I'm going on in my life, and it's always good to do that and just stay in check with yourself, realign yourself with what you want to focus on for the weeks going forward, and really looking deep into yourself, and I'm really big on that. So I did want to take a chance to shout out my last episode, episode 23 with Jordan Claygraph. That was a great episode. We talked about her doing her makeup and everything that she's experienced in her life with her mental health issues and things like that. It was awesome for her to share that with me because I relate really well to that. Mental health is so important to me, as you guys already know that. So, but today, episode 24 with another fantastic guest, Isaiah Sanchez. How you doing, Isaiah?
Not bad, man. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Glad we could get this episode rolling. Yeah, I just want to take the chance to thank you for reaching out to me to actually want to do this episode because we've never really met in person. We met through a close friend of mine, and like to have someone reach out and want to come on the podcast and share their story with me, like, you don't know how much that means to me, man. Like, it really makes me so happy because, like, you're the first person that I've never met in person to want to actually be on the podcast and then do it. So, like, awesome. This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, man, you have a great thing going here, man. Honestly, it's just like when you said you want to be like a therapy session, man, I'm all for that. You know, I've been through a lot of stuff, so I think, you know, putting my life story out there is going to be great. So I'm excited to get into it.
Let's dive right into it. So kind of give everyone a taste for what you're doing currently and kind of who you are.
All right. So I work at ACS in Bridgewater. It's a medical marijuana dispensary. I'm a security agent over there. And pretty much I check people in, check IDs, do a little camera work. When I'm not there, I'm usually with my girlfriend or I'm with my two younger brothers, Jonathan and Nathan Cabral. Both really big parts of my life. You know, Nathan does football. Jonathan's more into like lyrics and poetry and everything like that. So it's a nice little group.
Oh, hell yeah. So obviously I've had Eric Lazito on, and that was my first episode, and he also worked at ACS, and that's how we got connected. Talk to me a little bit why you wanted to get into this industry. Like, obviously, I'm very supportive of medical marijuana. I think it's a great thing for a lot of people, and it's a really good use for especially people who don't want to use opiates and things like that. So why were you inclined to kind of go this route and even just be security and work in this field? Like, what made you go towards that?
So it's actually kind of funny. I was working at a museum in Brock and doing security. You know, I've only had one other job that wasn't security, and it was my first job being a cook at a nursing home in Brockton. I got into security. My first security job was a methadone clinic, and, you know, seeing that versus, you know, the medical marijuana industry, it's crazy. You know, a lot of heroin users, a lot of, you know, opiates and everything. But when I was at the museum, you know, things were just going bad. You know, my manager quit out of nowhere, so I was like, I gotta get out of here. Something's going on. I was miserable at my job. You know, every morning driving there, I was like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And I was just up at 2 o'clock in the morning one day on Indeed, and I saw it. And I was 20 years old, and you have to be 21 to work there. So when I applied, I was like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna get in. And then 2 weeks later, you know, HR reached out to me and everything, and I was just like, oh, okay. And they scheduled my interview the day after my birthday, so I was freshly 21. Went in for my interview and everything, and I got it, which I was shocked. And when I started working there, it was amazing how much I've learned and everything. Because even before, you know, I was smoking weed, really just numb everything. Mm-hmm. Every single day, you know, 7-8 blunts, you know, like clockwork. Versus almost a year and a half since I've been there, I've learned how to, you know, properly medicate myself. You know, CBD has been a huge thing, mm-hmm. you know, with my anxiety and everything. So I'm very happy I got into the field. And I want to, you know, reach out more, you know, especially with the mental health and the medical marijuana. It's a huge benefit to a lot of stuff.
Especially with everything going on, too, with this COVID stuff. Like, everything, everyone's mental health is kind of all over the place because we're not getting the information we need consistently. It's all over the place.
Exactly.
How much on CBD do you know, and do you feel comfortable talking about CBD? Because I think that's, like, a really good thing for people to talk about because people, I think a lot of the older generations too, get confused when we talk about THC, CBD infused things. So, like, I think a lot of people could actually really benefit from using CBD. I think CBD could be a replacement even for things like ibuprofen. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to touch upon that a little bit. That'd be great.
It's honestly, I think CBD is the coolest thing from the marijuana plant because it can not only help with pain, it can help with, you know, your anxiety, you know, depression, stuff like that. And, you know, you can smoke it, you can take tincture drops, you can eat edible with it. And or even if you say if you took a dab or something, you got too high, you smoke a little CBD, it's gonna knock you right down, sober you up a little bit, so you're comfortable. And that's what intrigues me about it, because it's like an umbrella thing. There's so many things that it can help you with. Me personally, every other month or so, I'll go through a month where I smoke CBD every morning before work, on my lunch break, and everything. Then I'll take a month off of it. It helps you with my anxiety a lot, and that's usually what I use it for, is my anxiety. And it's just it's amazing, because when I go on break, I feel it the most. You know, I'm stressed out from, you know, working 4 hours straight, dealing with, you know, people who can be assholes at the dispensary. And I smoke it on my break, and it's almost like everything just like rolls off you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a deep breath your whole body takes, and it just makes you think more clearly. And I think that's a lot of people should, even if you don't have, you know, a mental health issue, just smoke it, because it's gonna help you in some type of way.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Especially because it's like, it's such a natural remedy for anxiety and things like that, and so many different other aspects too. Like, I know I've seen it could get tricky. I've seen gum and all these different like creams and stuff you can use for CBD, and like there's so many different benefits. Obviously, somebody sometimes gets commercialized, which is not always the greatest thing. But like for a company that's like ACS, it's accredited, it's a really good company, and they have a really good brand. I think it's safe, and I'd definitely support something like that. I think a lot of people, especially older generations, are scared to hop into this because it is new. Like, for all this research to be coming out, and like you get people trying to discredit it, and like federally it's technically illegal, and these states are legalizing it. So like all these laws are so all over the place, and like it's frustrating because like it should just be fucking legal everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
it should, man.
It's
really
so
should.
Aggravating because like, if we really compare it in the grand scheme of things, I've said this on other podcasts, compared to alcohol, like, we're talking completely different stuff here. Like, I think not even just recreational marijuana is, like, a huge benefit for a lot of people compared to, like, drinking alcohol regularly. Like,
exactly.
I think alcohol could lead to a lot more damaging effects.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think a lot of people use alcohol to numb a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even with weed, like, you can, like I said before,
you can't abuse it.
Yeah. Like, too much of anything is not good. True. You know, when I was, before I came to ACS, I was smoking, you know, 7-8 blunts around the clock, like, ridiculous amounts. And now versus now, I probably smoke, if I work all day, I probably smoke a joint, maybe two, at the end of my night and everything. Like, on my day off, I might indulge a little more.
Yeah.
But I always make sure, like, oh, if I have, you know, laundry and I have to go to the grocery store, I'm not going to smoke yet. Some people can. It's just learning how your body reacts to what it means.
Exactly.
I hate driving high. I know a lot of people who have to be high to drive because the anxiety, whatever the case is. But me, I get too much in my head sometimes. I just like being clear-headed. Just like, I don't go to work high either.
Mm.
I'm security guard. So if something, God forbid, pops off, which is rare because it's a medical marijuana dispensary, I want to be clear-headed.
Yeah, you want to be there.
Exactly.
And that, I think that's really good to recognize, too. I think a lot of people who do smoke or do use edibles, whatever they use, they don't acknowledge the fact that they can abuse it, and they don't acknowledge that. I think it's a huge piece to be like, all right, this is what I know I can use and use safely. Exactly. And you know your body. You know what makes you feel comfortable. You know what's too much.
Yep.
And that goes with everything, like alcohol, pills, anything, even working out. Like, you can work out too much. Like, you can eat too much. Like, there's so much aspects of just, it's self-awareness.
Exactly.
And that's something I've been preaching, is self-awareness. Kind of talk to me a little bit, too. I know we have a lot to talk about. Mental health is going to be really the big factor of this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know you came prepared to talk about your family, so I don't know if you wanted to just tackle that and start rolling with that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so, you want to talk about my immediate family or just overall, like,
whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, so I mean, basically my immediate family, so my brothers Jonathan, Nathan, my mother Nicole, my stepdad Mario, and everything. I did lose my father in 2017, so a few years back. It's definitely been hard on all of us, but I think we're a very tight-knit group. We have a weird relationship. Me and my family, if you were to see us, the way we, it's a very, you know, best friend type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk to each other like we're best friends and everything, but we still have that respect for our parents and everything. On the other side, my dad's side of the family, very close-knit group too. I'm actually kind of trying to break out of that shell, because I'm more of the person of the family that kind of stays back a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as in contact as much as I would love to. But it's just trying to break out of that, you know, anxiety cage and everything, and just trying to be like, yeah, that's my family at the end of the day. You know, we're blood and everything. I love them to death and everything like that. But it can be hard sometimes, for sure. But I take my family very seriously. I have a lot of close friends that I consider family, because I think just because you're blood doesn't mean you're automatically family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus my mother's side of the family, It's bad. You know, like I went through the sexual abuse on that side and everything. And my mother's father, my uncle, actually committed suicide about 2 years ago. And he was a security guard at a middle school. And he has relationships with an underage girl. And then my other uncle was the one who actually abused me. So that side of the family is just like cut off because it's just it's too much negative stuff that you don't want to be connected with at all. So I have a small family, but at the same time big because, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and Italian. Mm-hmm. So I have like 50 cousins, you know, across the state and everything. So, but it's nice. It really is.
I like how you said that too, with the anxiety, being trapped in a cage. Like, I think that's how a lot of people feel when it comes to their anxieties, like especially everything in life. Like, you almost feel like it traps you sometimes, and to break out of that shell. I know you talked about before, like coming out here and reaching out to be on the podcast was like that step. Like that was a big step for you.
It was definitely, because I remember I was at my job when I DM'd you and everything, and I was excited. And then, you know, 2 or 3 days later, here comes my anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you really want to go up there? Do you really want to, you know, share your story? But I know when I DM'd you that was me. That wasn't my anxiety. That was me being like, I want to put my story out there, you know? And so even like driving up here, like I told you earlier, like I've never been on the highway for 45 minutes like that to get out somewhere. I've always been, you know, back roads everywhere. And, you know, I have a trip coming up tomorrow to Webster on the lake house with my brothers and everything. So I wanted to get that, you know, that practice in. And when I got on there, yeah, I did a couple highways yesterday just to get some practice in. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, this is a piece of cake. I've been driving for a couple of years now. Like, I can drive on the highway.
Yeah, it's stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's what I was saying to myself. I was like, it's going to feel weird because it's new. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's don't let your anxiety consume you and, you know, not let you, you know, go drive to Rhode Island to go to a beach. You know what I'm saying? Like, go out there more. And that's why I said when you said, oh, I can come over to you. I said, no, let me drive up to Seekonk and just put myself out there. And just, it was like a little victory against my anxiety.
That's huge. I like the way you said that, the victory. Like, it's not even, like, it doesn't even have to be big victories in life, too. Like, those small ones add up. And, like, that's what people overlook. They think, oh, I have to plan ahead. I have to plan, like, this is what I want to accomplish in my life. And then that's overwhelming as fuck. Like, this is the goal that I want to achieve in life, whether it's working out, your career, like, relationship, doesn't matter. That's your goal. And if you don't put the small plans in place to achieve that goal, it becomes overwhelming. And, like, I'm working with a life coach right now, and that's something that I'm working on. And, like, I talk about all the time, I'm in therapy as well, and working with these two different people about working with the past and dealing with my emotions and coping skills, and then planning for the future. It's crazy for my growth right now. Like, I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on, but, like, I thrive off that almost, because uncomfortable feeling is the only way I'm going to grow. And, like, that's the same way what you're talking about, coming out here, doing the podcast, sharing your story. It's taking that next step in your life. And I think everyone that has come on the podcast, if they feel this way, I kind of assumed and gathered from most people, they feel great leaving. It's that extra step, because not many people sit down in front of microphones and record a podcast. Like, it's interesting.
Definitely my first time doing it and everything. That was, trust me, I almost like, damn, should I cancel? But I was like, you know what? No, because I'm not going to be ashamed for what I've been through. You know what I'm saying? Because the traumas I've been through makes me who I am today. And there's some negative, but there's a lot of positive. Like, you know, I was able to look back and grow from all that stuff. You know, my sexual abuse, you know, the absence of my father, losing my father the way I did and everything. And taking a step back and just looking at all that and be like, you know, I've got past that. You know, when I was in high school, there were a lot of times when I was self-harming and no one knew. You know, I had cuts down my arms and everything. And thinking I wasn't going to get past that point, now I'm 5 years out of high school, 5 or 6 years, and I'm like, wow. You know, I wasn't stuck in that, you know, mindset like, oh, I'm not gonna make it out here, I wanna die. You know, I was able to get past that completely. And once you get past that and you realize you've gotten past it, it feels amazing. So sharing my story is gonna be therapeutic as hell, and I'm really excited for it, man.
Yeah, so let's talk about the relationship with your father and stuff, and condolences for the loss of him.
Thank you.
I know that was a very important person, especially more recently in your life. So if you wanna talk about that relationship.
Yeah, so honestly, my father, Israel Sanchez. You know, we had a very rocky relationship since I was 2 or 3. He was in and out of my life because of prison. I actually found out a year ago his longest bid that he was in prison for was for pretty much defending me. I was, you know, molested when I was a kid by my uncle on my mother's side. And it's tough because, you know, he only got like a year on house arrest. and I was told he got years in prison. I didn't find that out till like later. But as soon as it happened, my dad found out, you know, he pretty much beat his ass and everything. And so he got, I think it was almost 10 years. He got, you know, served 7 or 8. And then my junior year of high school, he came out. He was paroled to, you know, to meet my mother's house. And from there, it was great the first month, but it was a learning curve. You know, you're coming from prison that not only your first bid, because he's been in prison before that, but you're in and out of prison, and out of prison, battling addiction, you know, PTSD from being in prison, and then just trying to go open into the real world and trying to be a civilized person. It's hard, you know. And when he came in, we had a lot of fights and everything, because at that point I was 16, you know, kind of already stuck in my ways. You know, I had a lot of hatred, you know, a lot of guilt and everything for him not being there. And when he came out, you know, we did fight a lot, but it was a good relationship. But like I said earlier, it was hard, because now the way I think about it, it sucks, because I wasn't thinking, oh, you know, all this, all his demons he had to deal with, we weren't paying attention. We were just, come be a dad, you know, come be a regular person in society. And we didn't think about that. You know, a few years after that, we moved into a new apartment, and he had thrown out his back at work. And his drug of choice was opiates. You know, he got prescribed Percocets to help his back and everything. Slipped under a little bit, started abusing them. And, you know, the last time I saw my dad, we were fighting. You know, there was some drama at the house. The house got trashed, and I fought him out of anger and everything. You know, he got arrested, came home over the weekend, packed his stuff, and dipped. A month after that, he overdosed on fentanyl, which I found that out a couple months ago, too. You know, I was told it was a bag of weed that was laced, and I reached out to the coroner's office, got the report and everything, and they told me it was fentanyl. Lost my mind. You know, I was just like, well, what the hell? You know, everyone told me so many different things, and it really messed me up mentally, because, I mean, even when I was at work, I was printing out stuff on, well, how did that happen? And, you know, how quick does a fentanyl overdose happen? You know, it was like a movie. I had like stuff on the walls and everything, you know, very manic, trying to figure it out. I had to take a step back, because at that point it was hurting me to my day to day. You know, I had to just accept that it is what it is. He's gone. You know, it was a mistake. Unfortunately, we lost him, but he wouldn't want me to stay in that spot. Mm-hmm. He'd want me to grow. You know, I have two younger brothers who, for their age, are so mature, because everything we've gone through as brothers and a family, that I still have to be there for them. I have to be, you know, when they're feeling low, I can't help them if I'm not fully there.
Yeah, they look up to you.
Exactly, exactly. So, but yeah, my father, it was a hard time, and I still, you know, it's hard still to this day, but I feel like I've gotten, you know, so past it. And, you know, I'm thinking about more positive things now.
I can tell the way you talk about it. You have more of an acceptance and a more mature mindset looking at it and understanding it now. Because obviously, as you're growing up, especially those teenage years, like, our minds just don't want to accept certain things. And, like, you get stuck in your ways. And that's just age thing at that point. Like, especially all the experiences you had to that point. Like, you're going to believe what you're going to believe. And you're like, I'm not going to listen to nobody. Like,
yep.
Like, you get stuck in that, and, like, it's hard, too, especially being men growing up in today. Like, we're not taught how to deal with our emotions properly and how to release them and how to feel them.
Exactly. It sucks, because in this, I feel like in 2020, it's more accepting for men to, you know, go out there and feel their feelings and tell people about their feelings, but we're still not at that full level, because there's still men out there who are scared to, you know, be labeled, you know, a pussy or whatever it is. And it's not okay, because when I was in high school, I was going through anxiety and a lot of depression. I mean, I lost my grandmother in 2012, my freshman year in high school, and it was the first loss I had to deal with, and it made me question my whole life. It made me question God. It made me, because I was like, oh, well, if there's a God, why would he take my grandmother away? You know, why would he make me feel the way I feel and everything? And, you know, I went to a mental facility for a couple weeks, because I had a suicide attempt over it and everything, and honestly, that really changed my life. I went in there, and, you know, just hearing other people's stories and how they've gotten past it, and, you know, the therapist there, you know, the aides there, they helped me through a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of stuff, you know, how to deal with a lot, you know, trauma and everything. You know, I was self-harming back then, so, you know, they taught me, you know, put a piece of ice cube on your wrist and wait 10 minutes. It's going to pass. It's just a feeling that's going to go away. So learning that definitely helped. But like I said, everything I've gone through is just, I always say I wish I didn't, but at the same time, I'm thankful I did, because now I'm the man I am now because of it. And I've reached that, you know, that better person out of all that trauma that I've gone through.
Definitely. Yeah, that's something that I've come more into belief of my own self, is just things that happened in the past, you want to regret. You're like, I wish that didn't happen. And like, then you look at it from that objective point of view and you're like, I'm so glad that it went that way, though, because, like, I wouldn't be me without what happened.
Yep.
All those negatives and all those traumatic experiences, yes, they're awful. And, like, you don't wish those upon nobody. But, like, that's your life. That's your story. It makes you you. Like,
exactly.
And I'm so thankful that you're at the point in your life now where you could look at that like that and you're being more positive. And, like, we talked about before, we're going to have days where we fall down.
Yep.
We're going to have days where we can't get up and we're like, damn, like, I need, like, I wish I wasn't feeling this way. I wish I wasn't here. Like, I've had those days. Like, mm-hmm. I still have those days. Like, is this really what I want to do? Is this really who I want to be? But then you pick yourself back up and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. Like, it's one of the hardest things you have to do because no one's going to do it for you.
Exactly.
You could have all the support in the world and that's great. It's fantastic to have a great support system. But if you can't support yourself, it's going to be very difficult to pull yourself out of those situations. And I tell everyone, a healing process is a long thing. And a healing process applies to everything. Deaths, relationships, like, traumatic experiences, everything. Like, all of those experiences have a healing process and have their... And there's no timetable for that.
Nope.
And absolutely none.
That's the biggest thing, too, is, like you said, you have to... You can listen to other people, but no one's going to really fully understand how you need help and unless it's yourself. You have to listen to yourself and everything. You can, it's okay to, you know, go to therapy and hear, just take it and try to put it so it's going to work for you. Because I say it to my little brother, Jonathan, all the time. You know, he has, you know, depression, anxiety as well. And I tell him, you know, I can tell you a million things of what I do and how to help myself. But at the end of the day, I don't know in your brain what you're feeling, how you think and everything. I can't experience that. Take what I say. You can try it. But if it doesn't work, that's not the end of the world. You can find a different way. Just like in the morning, I don't listen to aggressive rap in the morning. If I'm feeling sad, I might listen to, you know, some sad songs and everything. But I have my, you know, 45 minutes before work, feel my feelings, leave, go to work. I'm like, okay, it's time to straighten up now. I felt it. And if it's that bad of a day, I'm lucky that I have a great manager. If I say to him, hey, I'm having a lot of anxiety today, or my mental health is killing me today, he'll let me go home for the day. It's okay to have a mental health day if you need it.
I'm so glad that you said that, because that is something I tell everybody, especially like as we work these jobs, like we have sick time and all this different stuff. Mental health falls into that aspect. Like you can have a cold, you can have anxiety attacks, like it's the same shit in the end. Like,
it you're really is.
Like, I hate to use sick, like I don't want to call people sick for having like mental illnesses, but like it kind of is in that aspect of like, if you're not feeling well, it still applies. Like, you use sick days for that. Like, exactly. I'm a big proponent in like using mental health days. Like, I think everybody needs those, because like, you got to get your mind right, because if your mind's not right, everything else is not going to be okay and not functioning the way you want to be going, you know?
Exactly. And that's why I absolutely love my manager, Matt, man, because he understands that if I'm not feeling, you know, because my anxiety, I'm not feeling 100%, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the, you know, 100% security guard that I have to be day in and day out. I'm not going to be, you know, as open or as welcoming that as I should be, because I'm dealing with a lot of actual real life stuff. So taking a day to just decompress, go out to play basketball or something, go hang out with my brothers, or just sit in bed and cry if I have to, sometimes it's needed. And I feel like it sucks, because there's a lot of people who are against it, who think, oh, then you shouldn't have a job, or you shouldn't do this. That's wrong. You know, just because you might not have to deal with mental health issues doesn't mean that the person next to you or someone in your family doesn't. And it sucks, because those people are the ones who come from mental health issues, and a cousin or a brother might not want to speak up because you have that mindset of shitting on people who have anxiety or depression. You know, I'm a 6'4" Puerto Rican dude with tattoos. You know, people look at me, especially in high school, they thought I was intimidating because I was always quiet and I always had my headphones in. Realistically, I was having an anxiety attack in my head 50% of the time I was in high school, because I was just feeling like I was being judged and everything. And if it would have took one person saying, hey, like, are you okay? Like, not even just like a therapist, because I had therapy in school too, but just my classmates, people I went to school with. are you okay? Like, I'm not actually intimidating. I'm going through some shit at the end of the day. And it's hard. And there's a lot of therapy in school, but it sucks because once the summer hits, you don't see them all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And those couple months you're in the summer and you're dealing with the anxiety and everything, it's like you kind of reset back to step one versus when you were at step five, when you were in school, getting the help that you can possibly get.
That's a tough thing to deal with, because I know a lot of schools do offer those therapeutic sessions. So like when school ends or something like this, a pandemic happens, like my heart goes out to like a lot of those people who don't have the option to like reach out to different people. And like, it's scary. Like, it really is scary. A lot of people who are slipping, and like one of the unchecked things with this COVID stuff is like suicide rates and mental health issues. Like, they're skyrocketing because people are losing jobs, businesses, family members to COVID. Like, This is really serious. And like, some people just want to make it a political statement or make it like a joke. And like, it's not. Like,
it's, no, it's
this
not
is super
all.
Serious.
It is. It really is. And that's why, like, I get aggravated. Trust me, I hate wearing a mask at work. I work, 9 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. I'm gonna work all day. You think I want to wear a mask 24/7? I don't. It's uncomfortable. I'm a big guy. I can't breathe sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But it's having that respect for other people, because God forbid, you know, they say you don't show symptoms for 14 days. You know, you don't even know you have it. You don't wear a mask out. You come in contact with someone and you pass it on to them, and then their grandmother passes because you didn't wear a mask, God forbid. It's just having that respect. And they say, oh, well, you know, it's the younger people. They're not, they can survive it. Hey, that's not true. There's a lot of young people who are dying because of it, but it's still the same respect. There's older people out there who don't have the same chance that you have to beat it. So like, put a mask on and just have respect for people.
Literally just wear a mask, people. Like, wash your hands, social distance. Like, that's one thing, like, yeah, it sucks. Like, obviously this sucks. Like, everything is different. And like, everyone keeps saying, let's go back to the normal. And like, but the normal wasn't working. Like, at the same time, like,
no.
we're never going back to what we were.
No.
Like,
no.
And that's a good thing still. Like, it people is. Are scared because, like, they don't know what's going on. Like, I mean, you look at everything, like, travel-wise and sports-wise, like, everything is, like, so all over the place. And, like, it's, like, scary because, like, there's so much uncertainty. And that adds to that anxiety and mental health stuff that we're talking about. Because, like, I almost use it as an excuse sometimes. Like, and, like, I called myself out on it with my life coach because I was, like, saying, oh, I can't do this and that because of COVID and that's because of COVID. And it's, like, but there's so much stuff that I can do. And, like, self-acknowledgement is so important, just as important as like self-awareness. It kind of goes hand in hand, almost acknowledging yourself for like what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, and being aware of those feelings.
Exactly.
I think that's huge.
Exactly, 100%. You have to be able to recognize everything. Just like I talk a lot about shrooms. You know, I got into shrooms through a few friends of mine. I'm not going to mention names, God forbid. But I got in contact with some really good friends, and it's been life changing. Honestly, I'd say I'd take shrooms the rest of my life. And it's great because I tend to go to the higher doses, like the eighths or the 4 grams, just because you're more in your mind when you do it. You know, if you take like a 0.5 or a gram.
That's like a microdose.
Exactly.
And that should be really beneficial for a lot of people too. I've actually seen a lot of studies come out about that. Because like, apparently, very familiar with shrooms in the aspect, but I know based on the research, one, very therapeutic. And I think a lot of research needs to be done in that, because I think it could replace a lot of the therapies and like medicines that are given out instead. I think there's great benefits from it. And I think it's on its way too. I think it's going to be like the next step after like marijuana becomes very like legalized everywhere.
Yep.
I think shrooms will be the next thing to come. But talk about microdosing in the sense of just, it kind of makes you feel more, I guess, happy and more in touch a little bit, even just with that micro dose itself.
Exactly.
But I think that's an awesome thing to point out, and keep educating me on this too, because this is like an education thing for me.
Honestly, I learned everything from my friend Zach and Eric, Amanda, John. They were kind of like my guidance with it, because when I first got in contact with Zach, you know, he was telling me, you know, he went through his own mental health stuff and everything. He said, you know, he took them and it helped him. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. And he told me, you know, make sure you're ready for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I waited a year, pretty much. Waited that year, got my hands on my first batch and everything, and it was a fantastic experience, man. I started out with, you know, gram and a half, and just worked my way up. And as I worked my way up, the stuff I thought about and how good I felt after, I was like, I want to keep going. I want to go higher and everything. I want to deep diver in, you know, into my problems and my traumas.
Very inward experience.
Exactly. And that's honestly when I take them, I really just, I'm in my head. You know, I might hang out for an hour, listen to some music or something, or watch a movie, but the rest of the couple of hours, I'm thinking about my trauma, and
you know, thinking about my dad. Like an intention almost, kind of, when you're taking it?
Sometimes I do. Like, the first time I did it, I burned some sage, and I was like, I want to think about my dad, and everything like that. And honestly, the first time I took him, I was just high. Like, I wasn't, like, it was hard to stay kind of on that track, because I was just, it was something new.
Yeah, exactly.
I was having so much fun on it, and then after that, I was like, yo, this is great. Like, I can really get through a lot of stuff. So then after those doses, I would say, okay, let's think about my dad. If I went outside to smoke a joint or a cigarette by myself, I'd be out there for, you know, a half hour. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, thinking about, wow, you know, so much stuff has happened, but I'm a great person. You know, sometimes it's crazy because when you're on them, you look in the mirror, it's like a different, it's like you're meeting yourself for the first time. It's the best way I can describe it. It's just like, you're like, whoa, you feel the presence of yourself in the mirror versus when you, if you weren't on shrooms. And I remember, like, a couple times I sit there, I'm like, you know, you're great. You know, you've been through a lot of stuff, and it's important to do that. It really is. If that works for you, it worked for me, because I'm like, I've been through a lot of stuff. You're 100% right, but I'm a better man because of it. I'm a great person. And if people who don't like me, for whatever reason, then I don't need you in my life. Simple as that.
That's exactly what I say.
Fuck them, dude.
Like,
fuck them.
I'm big. It took a long time to even get that mindset, because it's very hard. I think a lot of us care about what people think deep down, and, like, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
Like, the only opinion that really matters at the end of the day is your own. Like, take into consideration of people you love and care about, because those opinions do matter to a degree.
Yep.
But, like, your opinion of yourself and your life matters more than anything in this world.
I think the biggest thing, especially with this generation, is the you know, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Even, I mean, I catch myself doing it sometimes. I might post a selfie or something on my story, and my anxiety kicks in, and, like, 2 hours later, I'm deleting it.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad. I'm like, dude, this is why. Like, why do I care what my 1,000 followers on Instagram, fucking, what they think about me because I posted something? There's no need for it.
Yeah.
If I feel this way and I want to post it, let me post it. You know,
do it for you.
Exactly.
Like, that's something I've been really getting into, especially, like, I've kind of came into some of my own TikTok quote-unquote fame, and, like, you get a little nervous about what people are gonna think, and then I snap out of it. I'm like, I don't care. Like, this is me. Like,
exactly.
This is who I am. Like,
exactly.
If you don't like me for me, I mean, that's something that's you, because, like, I try to have the best positive, like, attitude towards people. I feel like I'm very welcoming and open and honest with people, and I feel like I'm very understanding. So, like, if I ever do something or say something wrong, I say it on the podcast, like, you can check me. You can come to my DMs and be like, hey, I disagree with that. Or, hey, I resonate with what you said.
Right.
It goes both ways. And, like, opening that dialogue between people and, like, digging a little deeper into your understanding of where you come from and why you do the things you do. Like, because hearing what you've gone through, like, it's a whole different mindset for me to think about, like, wow, you've overcame so much, and you're here, and you're still knocking down doors and going through these barriers and putting yourself in vulnerable positions.
Yep.
And not enough people do that. Not enough people are willing to, like, attack their anxieties head on and, like, the traumas they've experienced. And, like, I give you so much fucking credit for that, because
thank you.
Very few people in this world that do that, and we need more people like that. And you sharing your story, I guarantee someone's gonna listen to this and be like, damn, what I'm going through, I can be like Isaiah. I can power through that shit. Yeah, like, it takes that. Sometimes it really takes listening to someone else's story to really power through it.
Exactly. And that's why I don't want to come up here, man, because I just, when I look at it, I think about, I see my younger self back in high school, and just, like, I'm like, damn, I want to help that kid. I want to help that kid so fucking bad, because it's, I know there's people like me who have anxiety like I do, who are in high school or college or just in life in general, and it sucks. It sucks being stuck in your head. It sucks, you know, not being able to experience life the way you do because you're trapped in the cage of anxiety, and you hit, you know, that voice 24/7 in your head, because it's anxiety. It's every single day, every second of the day, you're going to get bothered. You're going to hear that voice in your head, and it's breaking out of it and getting those little victories. It's going to help you break the cage and be able to control it and manage it more. Anxiety is not going to go away. You're going to be stuck with it for the rest of your life. But if you can manage it and make it work for you, that's why, like, I got into security. If we have a patient and I'm dealing with him, and I can already tell he's being aggressive because of my anxiety, I'm thinking of every single outcome. You know, what if he comes in here and starts flipping out? What if he tries to fight someone or fight a patient or my coworker? I'm already thinking how I'm going to handle it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It just worked for me. I think a big part of it was when I worked at the methadone clinic. That was a lot more hands-on. I was breaking up fights a lot more. You know, you find a lot of drugs on that property and everything. And because it's so quick and my anxiety is so quick, I was able to be a good security guard and never get hurt or manage things or de-escalate a lot of things because I thought about it 20 times already within a 10-minute span. So if you can make your anxiety work for you, do it, man. Don't let it control you. There's no need for it because at the end of the day, when life blows your whistle for you, it's just you in the casket and you don't want to die with regrets because of anxiety.
Big fucking facts. I always say at the end of the day, it's just you in the casket. There's nobody else that's going to join you in that casket. Like,
exactly.
It's your casket. This is your life. Like, you make it what you want. Like, it sounds corny and it sounds easy at the same time, but like, that's really the way life works.
It is.
Like, the way you think about things really does impact the way things happen to you. Like, call me crazy, but like, sometimes, like, I'll be doing certain things and like, I believe, like, this interaction between us doing this podcast, is meant to be happening. Like, we're, like, our energies just clashed and met each other, and now we have to have this podcast and share this message. Like, I'm a firm believer in these things that, like, just happen. Like, I've had people reach out and tell me they resonate with a lot of the stuff that I say. I'm pushing merch now, eventually coming soon. I guess I'll break the news with that. Definitely merch coming soon. Things are just kind of happening the way I want them to happen because I have a better mindset towards it. I'm putting out that positive energy. I'm putting out that energy where I want this to go this way. I want to put a message. I want this to be a platform for people to feel comfortable, to people feel open and honest. Like, there's not many platforms out there like this. And like, I'm a firm believer in that. Like, what you hear in the Carol Connection is authentic and real. And like,
100%.
This is a conversation that we would have off record. I mean, this is very similar towards the conversation we had in the warm up and the prep. Like,
yep.
I try to keep it the same way. Like, what you get on a podcast is what you're going to get off the podcast. Like, I try to keep things very authentic and real. And like, I don't think many people, especially with social media, do that enough. No, and like,
not at all.
You see what you see on social media is just like a fake happiness, a fake image, and like, too many people get sucked into that. And like, I say it all the time, it's like, social media is a tool for communication. It is not the only avenue for communication.
Yep.
And that's where people get really confused.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's like we were talking about the anxieties with, you know, with Instagram and, you know, Snapchat and everything mm-hmm. else. If you're living that fake life, when you in bed by yourself, you're not happy at the end of the day. You might you can trick yourself to think you're happy, but at the end of the day, you're not. And you have to learn how to be comfortable with yourself. You know, that's why, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I have tattoos, you know, warrior, the semicolon, you know, I have a quote from my dad and everything. And I use even that as a therapy. You know, when I lost my dad, you know, I was thinking, I want to get a tattoo. And the tattoo I have, actually, it's a clock that, it's a clock, and then the quote says, if I had a single flower for every time I think about you, I could walk forever in my garden. And it's true. I think about my dad 24/7, even on the way up here. I'm praying to my dad, you know, look out for me on the highway, this and that, make me feel comfortable. And this learning different avenues to channel your feelings. Like, when I got my tattoo, it was amazing because I was feeling, you know, the tattoo pain and kind of putting it as, like, this is the pain I felt for my dad. And having that release is just... it's unspeakable, man. It's just
literally amazing. It sounds therapeutic, and I guarantee he's hearing this.
100%.
Like, I know he's hearing this. I'm a very firm believer in that. I'm very more spiritual than religious.
Yep.
So like, I believe in energies and things like that. So like, it feels like there's an energy and a presence in the conversation that we're having, and I guarantee he's helping. He's guided you towards this position in life too, where you're trying to go, and like, he's definitely proud of the man that you're becoming, and like, where you're going to continue to go, because like, this is a huge step. Like, everyone that comes on the podcast, this is a huge step for them, because most people never have the opportunity to voice their story. And the way you're doing it is so impressive. Like, not many people come on to my podcast. You came here prepared as fuck, notes and all. Like, like, that is like a huge sign of just someone who's so ready to share and so ready to be open and honest. And like, I'm so appreciative of that, because I don't see that all the time. And like, it just shows how much one we relate, because I'm the same way. I'd probably come like that, like,
yeah.
The way, like, I'm taking notes in my, like, life course and all this stuff. Like, I'm very, like, in my stuff when I'm doing it. So, like, to have someone I can relate to, and someone, like, we've never met in person. I think that's the coolest thing about this, is, like, we had just like very early conversations about doing the podcast and setting it up, but we literally just dove right into this, and like this was like a real ass conversation, and like I'm glad that you feel comfortable telling me this stuff and telling my audience this stuff. Like, that's impressive.
It's, and honestly, it's just learning how to, you know, over the years, just accept your trauma. Like, you can't change what happened to you in the past. It sucks. Like, what happened to me, it sucks. You know, being molested, going through with, you know, not having my dad in my life and, you know, losing him the way I did. It's fucking traumatic. It really is. But I can't let myself get stuck. I can't let, you know, my mental health issues just take me from the world and not let me do what I want to do. You know, I always say I'm terrified to go back to school, because high school was so just shitty for me and everything. And just learning that it was shitty because, yeah, I went through a lot of shit. When I go to college, it's going to be a different ballgame. I'm going to go with a better mindset. And once I do it, that's just going to be, once I just sign up for classes and actually go, once I'm comfortable, just like on the highway, once I get on the highway, you can't turn back. You just got to do it, man. And if you can do it, then that's what I want to do. I want to just go to college and just throw myself in there.
If I can give you any advice that I've experienced from my college experience, is one, I'd recommend community college first.
Yep.
You'll save a fucking ton of fucking money. Like, I kick myself in the ass so many times because I didn't go to community college first. Like, say, it would have saved me a couple G's. Wow. Well over. Like, and you get the same piece of paper as soon as you transfer over. Like, it doesn't make any difference. So, like, with that, definitely community college. And then two, make sure you're picking the major that's right for you.
100%.
Like, a lot of people, especially now that you definitely have time, obviously, since you haven't gone back to school since high school. So, like, you definitely have taken the time to really look into yourself and really acknowledge what you want to. So, like, when you want to go back to school, which it sounds like you do, you have a better mindset going into it.
Right.
A lot of these kids coming out of school have no fucking idea. And it's just the pressure to go to school. It's just like, that's what it is.
Yeah. And that's why I recommend, if you feel that, I mean, if you, because there's some kids who know right off the bat what they're going to do. If you feel like you have to take a year off or 4 or 5 years, do it, man. Go out there, just work a full-time job and feel what you want to do. You know, like I said, my first job was being a cook at a nursing home in Brockton. Quickly, I was like, I don't want to do this. You know, I thought I wanted to be a cook and a chef. No, that's not what I wanted to do. Go into security, and I haven't looked back since security. I've only worked security jobs, and it's because I like having that responsibility that a security guard has. I get along with people. I have that, you know, intimidation factor just because the way I look, but being able to, you know, work in that field, I've always wanted to, you know, be a police officer and everything, but now I'm leaning more towards, you know, mental health. I want to help kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'd love to be a police officer, but I feel like I'm put on this earth to help people who've gone through some of the stuff I've gone through, because I'm at the point where I'm here, I'm talking about it, and that's the healthiest part. If I can get someone to do that, not necessarily jump on a podcast and talk about it, but just be open with their feelings and accept it, I've won. Even if it's just one person on the podcast.
That's literally how I feel about my purpose in life. Like, it's one, it takes a lot of thinking and, like, what you say, trying and doing different things. Like, I've experienced, like, I was lucky enough to have a company that allowed me to travel and move to Texas and move to Georgia and experience different cultures and different people. Like, to get away from my hometown and detach from that was fucking one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. And, like, I was so alone and so depressed in certain places because, like, I'm miles and miles away from friends and family, and it's just me. And, like, that self-isolation was one of the best things that ever happened to me because, like, I mean, you see me now, but, like, back in 2019, like, I was added an extra 40 pounds to me. Like, I was so overweight. Like, I'm not a fucking tall dude, and I'm pushing, like, 170, 180. Like, I should not be weighing that. Like, looking myself in the mirror, like, I'm like, I'm not happy with who I am. I'm not doing what I want to do. Like, I felt like I was living the wrong life. It wasn't my life. Like, you feel like you're doing everything the right way. I'm working a good job. I'm traveling. I'm experiencing these things and allowing myself to, but, like, I'm not feeling happy though.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It was a huge thing to, like, acknowledge. And it took me going to Georgia, and I didn't want to go to Georgia. Like, I ended up there because that's where I was assigned to go. And then I got there, and it was a very toxic work environment. It made me feel very uncomfortable. And, like, to acknowledge that and to be like, to finally quit and just leave was one of the most liberating things I've ever experienced in my life. And that led me to this podcast.
Awesome.
Because, like, I took that step back. I was like, what do I like to do? What do I want to do? And I love podcasts. I said on every podcast, I love Joe Rogan. Call me a dick rider. Don't give a fuck. But, like, hearing him talk to so many different people and get their perspective, I learned so much from that. So, like, to be able to do that myself and talk to people I know and, like, people who I don't know and, like, have that experience, like, is the coolest thing in the world. And, like, if one person, like, we just keep saying over and over, if one person hears this and it impacts them positively, and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And, like, lately, it's really felt like that. And, like, it makes me so happy. I feel so positive. Like,
yeah,
like that mental health field, it feels like this is where I'm supposed to be.
100%.
It feels like this is where I'm supposed to be talking about. And, like, it feels like I'm supposed to be talking with you right now about this. Like,
yeah, man.
I'm firm believer. Everything happens for a reason, whether we know it or not. Like, there's a reason behind everything. There's a reason behind every person you meet, even if they're just there temporarily in your life. Whether they're there to help you grow or change a certain pattern, or even if you're supposed to help them grow in their path.
Exactly.
We're all here to help each other. We're all human at the end of the day, and that's something huge to acknowledge.
Yeah, and that's, I think the same way, man, because I was working at the, you know, the Brockton Museum doing security for a year or so, and I was literally miserable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd wake up in the morning, and I dread going to work every single morning, and it was... When I applied for, you know, the job at the dispensary, like I said, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was pissed off at my job. Didn't think I was going to get it because I was only 20 years old. You have to be 21 to work at a Massachusetts dispensary. And I applied at 2 a.m. just to see, like, well, let me throw a line out in the water and see what happens. You know, thankfully, HR reached out to me. And we had an hour interview on the phone. And the last question was literally like, oh, you're 21, right? And I was like, no, I'm still 20, but I turned 21 in about a month or so. She said, okay, no problem. Call me around your birthday. I called her like the week before my birthday, and they said, okay, awesome. We'll schedule for the day after your birthday. Birthday landed on a Sunday. I didn't go too crazy. Went to the interview and got it right after that. And I felt like I was supposed to get this job because the relationships I've built with my retail team it's life-changing. I mean, I would have never thought I'd have the relationships I have with these people on my first day till now. You know, Eric, Zach, Amanda, everyone on the retail team has impacted my life in a great way so many times. It's mind-blowing. You know, I was able to, you know, experience shrooms the right way and at the right time of my life mm-hmm. because of these people. And it's brought me out of my shell so much. And it really, really has. It's given me the confidence to, you know, talk with different people, be open with my feelings and everything. I mean, even like 2 weeks ago, you know, in high school, I was a really good writer, you know, with just like writing stories in English class or whatever. I was always good at that. And I got into poetry a little bit right before high school ended, and I stopped doing it. 2 weeks ago, I was just upset. I was like, you know, let me just write down some poetry. And I wrote it down. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. But I was like, I was scared to post it because I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I reached out to a few coworkers, a few friends and everything. And they're like, dude, that's amazing. Like, that poetry is like, it can be a song, literally. Like, you need to write more. Posted it on Facebook. I got all great feedback. And that just, being able to do that, because they gave me the confidence to do it, was just so rewarding. It's amazing.
Definitely share that with me. I definitely would love to read that. Like,
100%.
And if you ever feel like you want someone to pre-read something, feel free to use me as a resource going awesome, forward, man. Too. Dude. Like, I have people that have sent me stuff before, and, like, it's so cool when people send me, like, hey, I care about your opinion. Like, what do you think of this? And, like, usually the stuff that they send me is fantastic. Like, Eric has sent me stuff before to, like, look at him and, like...
Awesome.
He's, like, sent me, like, this huge document and stuff that he was working on. And I was like, dude, you should write a book out of this stuff. Like, there's so many people who don't realize the untapped potential that they have. And, like, as I start, discovering more and more of my potential, I start seeing that in people. Like, I'm like, I could see where you could be with that. Or I could see where that person doing that specific thing and, like... I can see you really doing the mental health stuff. Like, I could really see it. And, like,
thank you.
I see we could even collaborate in the future going with the stuff. Like, I really could see that, especially the conversations that we have. Like, not many people or men could sit down and have this conversation and feel comfortable doing it. And, like, it's hard.
Yeah,
like, it's really hard to have these conversations. And, like, they're needed conversations, though.
They are. Because if you're a man, or not even just a man, if you're anyone who's dealing with mental health and you're listening to this right now, man, if you can reach that point where you feel comfortable to put yourself out there, do it. Because just now talking about it, I feel like I was nervous coming up here. I'm so comfortable right now. Like, I'm just, because I've gone through these, you know what I'm saying? This is something I had to deal with every single day of my life. And to keep it in, it's almost like a pimple, man. If you keep it in, eventually it's just going to pop, and you're going to pop on the wrong person at the wrong time at the wrong place, and it's not going to be a good outcome. Versus if you're comfortable enough to talk about it on YouTube, podcasts, or even just a friend, it's just like, it feels so good. It's just, it's rewarding. And I know when you put this on, I play it back, I'm going to learn so much from it. And it's going to be like, wow, like this is, I'm happy I did this. I'm happy I'm here right now with you doing it.
Dude, I appreciate it so much. And like, I do that too. Like, I mean, I go back to old episodes just to see how much I've grown. Like, mm-hmm. I've been doing this since early, like, I think it was maybe late November. I was recording before November, so like I had done like some practice runs, and like hearing myself the first time was difficult. Like now, like when I listen to myself, I'm like, who is that? Like I'm so, like it's like a different person almost. Right. Sometimes I'm like, but like I'm so comfortable listening to it. It's like it doesn't feel like I'm listening to myself sometimes. I'm like,
right, exactly.
And people have said like you have a pretty good voice for this. Like and like,
oh, 100%.
I appreciate it. And like I never really like looked at it like that. And like I've had people even say like it's soothing almost sometimes, and like it's therapeutic, and like. You never realize it until you, like, play it back and, like, you listen to it and, like, you hear the things that you say and, like, because this is right off the dome. Like, yeah, we have notes and, like, yeah, we have stuff we prepped and what we wanted to talk about, but this is all free thought. This is authentic. It's real. Like, I hit record and we're going. Like, people forget that, too.
Yeah, that's honestly, like, I told a few people about the podcast and I was like, hey, if you want to listen, like, if you want to get to know the 100% raw Isaiah, this is the time, because I'm putting everything out there. I guarantee it's going to. People who listen to it from high school or people I've known over the years, and they're going to be like, wow, I had no idea you went through that shit. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And it's just going to open so many more doors. Mm. And that's what I'm hoping for, to open more doors and help more people. Because I feel like there's so many people, especially nowadays in 2020, with mental health issues who don't even know they have them, or they have them and they're scared to get the help or to speak out because you're going to be labeled a bitch if you do it. Especially if you're a man. And it sucks. It really does. And that's like, I preach that to my younger brother, Jonathan. You know, it's crazy because he's like my twin. I mean, he has a twin, Nathan, obviously, but he's like a reflection of me so crazy. It's mind-blowing because I started having my mental health issues around freshman year of high school. Same thing. When he got into high school, around that freshman year mark towards the end, we started seeing, you know, the depression, the anxiety and everything. And that's why I talked to him, like, yo, just be yourself, man. At the end of the day, do what you want to do. Feel your feelings and just try to get through it, man. Like, you have to find healthier options to go through everything. Like, my stepdad, who, like, his father, he, you know, he wants him to hang out with, obviously, the right people and everything. And I told him the other day, I was like, you know, if I had you on my back, like you're on his back, I wouldn't have learned what I've learned. You have to go through the shitty times to come better. You know what I'm saying? You have to maybe hang out with the wrong people and something happens to be like, wow, I shouldn't be with that group of people. I shouldn't be doing this at all. And you can have help on the side, like me or my stepdad or my other brother, but they're not going to fully learn until they go through it. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's one of those things, like, it sucks, but sometimes they have to be able to experience it on their own to really understand it. Because you can understand as much as you want, and you can be empathetic towards it, but until you understand and you've gone through those experiences, it's really hard to put yourself in that shoe. And, like, that's something I try to tell people. Like, you could preach and preach and preach to people, but sometimes they won't know until they experience that themselves. And, like, to allow them to experience it, because if they're going to, sometimes you give advice and people will ignore your voice, and that's okay. That's life.
Yep.
But to be strong enough to be like, especially if you hold them near and dear to your heart, be like, hey, you're going to do what you want to do in the end of life, but I'm still here to support you. Like, exactly. I'm still here to love you. Like, I still care about you. And that's something I tell all my friends if they ever come to me for advice. And that's what people tell me. Like, I'm going to allow you to feel your feelings. I'm going to allow you to do what you want to do, but I'm still going to be here to support you in the end. And having those people in your life, so valuable. Oh, you can't replace that.
100%. And that's the thing. Like, if you don't struggle for mental health by yourself, if you know someone who does, literally just reaching out and saying, hey, like, I'm here for you if you ever need it. That person is going to feel amazing. Mm. You could have saved a life by doing that. They, like, you see in music videos, like Jordan Lucas.
Yeah.
There's videos where, like, he might be committing suicide and then someone reaches out to him. That happens in real life. Yeah. Literally, a DM could save someone's life. A DM can make someone's day who's having a shit day because of their mental health. Mm. So if you don't struggle with it, be more acceptive. You know, reach out to people. If you know they're reaching out. There's people, random people I have on my Facebook, because I've had it since, you know, Facebook first came out, and I see them post something, you know, very emotional or very upset, I message them like, hey, I know you don't know me at all from a hole in the wall, but if you need to talk, you can shoot me a message. And they're always happy that I do it. And it, that little thing is such a huge thing to other people that you don't realize it.
Need more of that in the world.
We do. Like, we do.
We definitely need that. So we are coming towards the end of the podcast. And before we get into the stuff, the wrap up and things, I always end on a certain question. Is there anything that we didn't touch upon that you want to touch upon beforehand? Because we do have some time where you could talk about some more stuff.
I'd say I want to dive into the sexual abuse for sure.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
I think the big thing, you know, they say sexual abuse happens more towards women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the actual facts and everything, but it does happen to men. You know, I've had it, you know, through family, unfortunately. And I think the biggest thing is people have to understand, like, when it happens to you, it's not your fault. I was literally in fourth grade when it happened. You know, it was my uncle. You know, I'm thinking, he was literally like 18. He was still in high school. He was 18 years old. And we moved into Lawrence because something happened with the apartment down in Mansfield at the time. So living with my mom's side of the family for a couple months. And it's sickening because you think as you're that young, well, that's my uncle. You automatically feel safe and everything. So then when you get violated like that, it breaks your trust and everything. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, I have a little trust issues, but I know it's because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just learning how to be like, okay, that person's not going to, you know, violate me like they did. And, you know, if you're a man who's gone through it, speak up about it. You know, don't try to hide. If you hold it in, like I did for so long, even, you know, even after we went to court and everything, I wasn't talking about it. And it affected me in so many negative ways. It ruined relationships, you know, even in high school and everything, because I was going through so much that if I was more open about it, I would have kept a lot more relationships. I would have, you know, been accepted more and everything. And I just think with especially sexual abuse with men, we need to, you know, we need to have a safe space in this country where we can talk about it, because there's a lot of men who go through it and don't ever speak about it, ever. And it's honestly, it's disgusting, because we need to have that open floor where you can talk about it and make men feel, you know, comfortable. Because I guarantee you, if it was more accepting, more men would speak up about it, and a lot more would happen. So to prevent, you know, sexual abuse in the
family. Yeah, that's a powerful message, and I'm appreciative that you're willing to share that with my audience, with myself, and that you're comfortable sharing that. And the fact that you acknowledge those trust issues are from the trauma, I think that is a huge sign that you are growing past that, and you're not allowing that anymore to prevent you from being the person who you want to be. Like, that is huge. That is huge that you 100%. Can acknowledge that, because so many people will just push the trauma deeper, yep. Push the trauma deeper. And as you said, it's almost like that pimple where it just pops.
Exactly.
And you don't want to do that, especially now in your life where you're going, like, and you're right. There needs to be that safe space. Cause like, again, I don't know the numbers either, but I know a lot of sexual abuse is with men involved. Mm-hmm. And so men on women, like, yep. I don't know the stats between that, like you said, but men on men, like that's a huge thing. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, it is people you know, like family or friend. And yep. Like, that is the scariest part, especially with the young children, where it breaks that trust and they don't know how to talk about it because they're never taught how to deal with their feelings or emotions too. Because as at least my childhood growing up too, like, I was never taught how to appropriately to journal, to like meditate, yep. To like talk about what I'm feeling, why I'm mad, to think about why I'm mad. We're not taught these tools. And that's not a reflection of our parents, because like, they weren't taught those tools. That's a reflection of society not acknowledging that mental health is way more important than we realized.
Yeah.
And we're moving closer and closer towards that goal of just, hey, you can feel these feelings, acknowledge these feelings, acknowledge the traumas that you're going through, and let's work through these and heal. As a society, let's heal.
Exactly. There's so much stuff we have to heal from, man. I mean, even something simple as going on Instagram and seeing, like, or on Facebook, because I see it more on Facebook, a deadly car accident, and you see a body hanging out. Mm-hmm. Or like when XXX died, you know, there was people filming him, you know, in his car, not helping, just recording it.
Yeah.
And millions of people are seeing that. That little 12-year-old kid, that's trauma. He shouldn't be seeing that. And we see so much shit, and we just rub it off like, oh, that's just, it's social media. No, but
it's real life.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fucked. It's completely fucked, because now that 12-year-old boy who should have never seen a dead body like that has seen it just off a click off Instagram.
Yeah, and people don't realize how traumatic that stuff and how deeply that can affect the human mind itself. Yeah. Like, we don't realize it. Like, sometimes you'll feel these emotions, you don't realize it's tied to these traumas. Like, mm-hmm. and like acknowledging, I'm feeling this because I've went through this in my life, and how do I appropriately address this in a positive, healthy manner so I don't hurt myself and hurt other people on top of that? Because sometimes when you're hurting yourself, you forget that you're also hurting other people. And, like, it's dangerous because, like, so many people do care and you don't realize it because you're hurting so bad you don't think anybody cares.
Exactly.
And it's not true because there's so many people out there that love and appreciate you as a person. But, like, when you're so trapped in that cage and, like, you're so hurt by these traumas and these emotions and the depression, you forget. And, like, I can relate to that. I've been there. You just, like, you have so many people that care about you and that want to see the best for you. But, like, you're hurting so bad, you don't know where to turn and who to be.
Yeah.
And to get yourself out of that, only you can do that, for one. You need a good support system, for sure.
100%.
But it starts with you. And from what I've gathered through just our conversations together and, like, this podcast, like, you're on your way. You're well on your way. And just doing this podcast is a huge step for that. And, like, I just appreciate the fact that you share this stuff with me and, like, are comfortable to do that. Like, it takes more of a man to acknowledge his past and acknowledge the traumas and acknowledge his feelings. Like, 100%. That's a real man. Nope, man. That's a real man.
And I trust me, I appreciate you. Like, you don't even understand, man, because this has been honestly so healing. And, like, honestly, to the listeners, if you going through some shit or you just want to come talk, come jump on this podcast, man, because it's comfortable, it's real life, just conversation, and you're going to feel so amazing. I mean, because I feel like like 100 pounds of weight just got off of me, because I'm able to sit there, because I have people who are friends who know about certain traumas, but to let it out to the public, who people I don't know, it's just something about that, to being able to try to help a kid or an adult or whatever the case is, it's rewarding, it's healing. It's amazing, honestly.
You're being you.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
That's what I want people to feel like they can be comfortable doing on the podcast. Because, like, I want people to be themselves.
Yep.
We don't need to, because we all do it in a certain aspect. We'll hide behind our Instagrams and social media to a certain degree and try to present ourselves in the best possible way. But, like, we're human. Some of us have acne. Some of us have balding, some of us have bad skin, like, it's right. Like, some of us are short, some of us are tall, some of us are overweight, some of us are skinny. Like, we're all human. We all have different things that we're insecure about,
right?
But, like, we don't have to be, because we all have issues and we all are working together to be the best possible versions of ourselves. And, like, I'm so accepting and loving of every human being that's out there, and tons of love to everybody, and sending tons of love to you. Like, I appreciate you so much, and, like, doing this, like, reaching out to me, and, like, we have a forever connection from doing this, and, like, 100%. That's what I want from the podcast, and I appreciate that.
No, like I said, I appreciate you letting me come up here, man, and anyone who's listening, man, if you're struggling from depression and anxiety, just know the stuff I've gone through, if I can go through it, you can make it through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not alone, because I'm telling you right now, there's thousands of people, even millions of people who struggle with anxiety and depression. There's people out there. You have to reach out. You have to reach out. You have to talk about it, because if you talk about it, just like if you speak to the universe, it speaks facts. Mm. Same situation, man. If you can put yourself out there once you're comfortable in your recovery to do it, I'm telling you, it's going to be rewarding, because you're not alone. Even though the depression tells you you're alone, your anxiety tells you you're alone, don't let it win. Because at the end of the day, when you go in that casket, it's just you. And you don't want to live full of regret because of your anxiety and depression. Because life can be an amazing thing. But it's your mindset. You have to be able to step out of that depression cloud and that cage of anxiety and not let it win. And it's just know that, like, you're strong versus a person who doesn't have mental health issues, because you're dealing with it every day. My anxiety, I have to deal with it every single day. And if you're still here breathing right now, you're strong as hell, because a lot of people break down. They can't handle it. So if you can do it, you're strong as hell, and you can get through anything that you put your mind to, man.
Big facts. Agreed. And well said. And now I guess I'll transition towards our end of this podcast and our wrap up. So I usually end this podcast with the same question I ask everybody. And that is, what would your advice be to someone who wants to pursue their passion?
Pursue their passion? I'd say just put that foot forward. Put it forward. If you want to, you know, be a therapist, do podcasts, or just do anything in life, and you have anxiety, the only way you're going to get past it is to put your foot forward and just know that whatever you do that's new, you're going to feel uncomfortable. No matter what it is, driving on the highway, coming to do a podcast, you're going to feel uncomfortable as hell, but that's normal. You can't let your anxiety control your life. If you want to be a therapist and help kids, or you want to reach out, you have to, you gotta just do it. I say it all the time, like with tattoos. If you're just going to get a tattoo, once you start, you can't stop. You just have to do it. So that would be my advice. If you want to go do something, get up and do it. Simple as that. If you have to battle with your anxiety, fight it, because you can win. Because at the end of the day, you control your mind, and you can put that foot forward to be like, you know what? I'm not going to let the anxiety win today. Just like I did this morning. I wasn't going to let my anxiety say, I'm not going to come here. I'm not going to drive to Seekonk, because my anxiety says a million things could happen. I made it here. We did the podcast, and I feel fucking amazing. So if you want to do whatever you want to do to pursue whatever you want to pursue, just fucking do it, man. Simple as that. Don't let your anxiety control you. Don't let your depression control you. If you have to have a fucking day to just sit there and cry, whether you're a man or woman, just do it, man. Sit there, cry, and then come out a better person. Because I'm telling you, once you do little victories like that, you're going to be able to pursue bigger things. And it's going to feel even 20 times more great because you did everything you were supposed to do.
Well fucking said. This has been such a great podcast, dude. It's been so beautiful and so natural and so healing. Seriously. So healing, man. And like, again, I'll say it 1,000 times. I'll probably message you after. Like, I appreciate the fuck out of you for doing this and being open enough to like be yourself. Like, that's so amazing. So if there's anything else you want to say before I start wrapping up.
Yeah, man. Just like I said before, if you struggle with anxiety, depression, just know you can get through anything that you put your mind to. Your mind is the most powerful thing that you have overall in life. And if you can fight it, man. And just know if you have a bad day, that's not going to determine the rest of your life. Have your bad day, feel your feelings, like Jared says, and just keep it pushing, man. Because you can really, if you put your mind to it and you get those small victories, man, I'm telling you, life's going to be amazing. It really is.
Fantastic. Well said. So if you ever want to get in contact with Isaiah or myself about things that we've talked about, I can get you in contact, and I'll be tagging him in all my posts and all that stuff. So I'll just give my little spiel now. If you like the podcast and what we talked about, please like, rate, review, all that stuff. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. I appreciate that. TheCarolConnection.Simplecast.com. Also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major listening platforms. So again, guys, until next time. Bye.